In just a moment, Generations with Kevin Swanson. But first, this. The World View in 5 minutes.
It's Wednesday, July 1st, 2015 AD. This is The World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. In the wake of the Charleston, South Carolina church massacre and subsequent combustible culture wars, the FBI is investigating a string of fires at black churches in the South and one in Ohio. The Christian Post reported that less than 1 week after 9 worshipers were shot and killed at the historic Emmanuel AME Church, several churches have been burned in Tennessee, Georgia, South and North Carolina, Florida, and Ohio. So far, 3 of the blazes have been ruled to be arson, and investigators are trying to determine if they're connected. There is nothing done in secret that will not be made manifest, neither anything hid that will not be known. Luke 8:17. Responding to the landmark Supreme Court ruling in favor of homosexual marriage last week, Tennessee lawmakers are drafting a new bill expected to protect pastors who refuse to perform homosexual wedding ceremonies for religious reasons. Texas passed a similar bill last month, and states across the union are scrambling to find ways not to be forced into being part of what many believe is sinful. Republican Representatives Brian Terry and Andy Holt, the creators of the Tennessee Pastor Protection Act, say their goal is to provide legal protection for clergy from efforts to force them to perform the ungodly unions on church property. Holt fiercely rejected Friday's ruling as valid and has vowed to never give up, saying God is the ultimate Supreme Court and he has spoken. Marriage is between one man and one woman. New reports out today from counties and states across the country where some have decided not to perform civil unions or issue marriage licenses at all. The World View spoke to Mark Pfeffer from the Trinity Law Institute about the stories.
There has to be some protection, and I'm very pleased that, and I've seen it myself, that the states are starting to look at this, because in a broad sense, it is the states that and states' rights that suffered through this opinion.
The Al-Shabaab terror group, which murdered 152 Christian students in April in Kenya, has vowed to attack non-believers throughout the Islamic holy month of Ramadan, a pledge echoing ISIS's threats. Ramadan began June 17th, and so far they've made good on their promises. At least 15 people were killed on Monday in clashes between Al-Shabaab and Somalian African Union troops near the southern port of Kismayo, and another 80 soldiers were killed Friday in a separate attack on the Ligo base in southern Somalia. Psalm 35:4-6 has a great message for these terrorists. Let them be confounded and put to shame that seek after my soul. Let them be turned back and brought to confusion that devise my hurt. Let them be as chaff before the wind, and let the angel of the Lord chase them. Let their way be dark and slippery, and let the angel of the Lord persecute them. President Barack Obama told reporters he is prepared to walk away from nuclear negotiations with Iran, which were just extended another week, saying unless we can assure Iran's path to nuclear weapons is closed, the United States will not make a deal. A group of ghost hunters searching an abandoned hospital in Mississippi were shocked to find the murdered body of a woman who had been missing since the day before. After finding the body, they took off and called police. 2 men are in custody in connection with the murder. A slow-moving mystery object lit up parts of the Georgia sky early Monday morning. NASA's 5 meteor cameras in the southeast part of the United States picked up video of the object that they say was moving at approximately 14,500 miles per hour. William Cook, the lead for NASA's Meteoroid Environment Office, told ABC News, 14,500 miles per hour is pretty fast, but it's too slow to be a meteor. It was possibly re-entry of space junk. As religious tensions increase across Malaysia, the Bible Society there could be facing government intervention. The Malaysia Chronicle reported a team from a government group called the Registry of Society went to the Bible Society's office Tuesday in Selangor. According to the paper, accounts, the membership roll, and the minutes of meetings were inspected, and the Bible Society of Malaysia Executive Council is concerned that the government will resort to high-handed measures to persecute them. According to the law, the government has permission to search and inspect any organization suspected of being used for, quote, purposes prejudicial to public peace, welfare, good order, or morality in Malaysia, unquote, and can also seize and detain books and accounts. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Matthew 6:10. And that's the worldview on this Wednesday, July 1st, in the year of our Lord, 2015. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ.
Hello, my friends. This is Kevin Swanson. The program is Generations. I'm a homeschool father of five, also a pastor of a church out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. It's a historical Christian church with roots all the way back into the first century, the second century, the third century, the fourth century.
All the way
the
back 16th to Peter?
Century, the 17th century, the 18th century, the 19th century, and the 20th century. And our roots are not in the Roman Catholic Church, but in what we call the Holy Catholic Church, especially if you use the Apostles' Creed in your church service, which we do.
Yes, we do too.
And you do too. Good. Steve Vaughn also in studio with me today as we talk about what's happening with Pope Francis. This guy's going off the deep end on just about every issue. I'm not sure that I agree with anything he's ever said.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think, have I agreed with anything Pope Francis has ever said? He supported socialism with, quote, the legitimate redistribution of economic benefits by the state. That's his quote, not mine, and not Marx's. I thought Marx said that. No, yeah, that was Pope Francis.
Yeah.
That was Pope Francis, the economic
so maybe
redistribution
Marx quoted Pope Francis.
State.
Yeah.
Yeah, could be. Also, the Pope has said this about homosexuality. Who am I to judge? God is not afraid of new things. Now, that just smacks, just smacks of human autonomy, doesn't it, Steve?
God's not afraid of new things.
That is, we can make up new things as we go along. That's what that means. That's
and God's not afraid of that. He'll accept that.
Yeah. That's a human autonomous statement. When we say autonomy, what does that mean? That's the original sin. That's where you become a law unto yourself, and you determine good and evil by yourself. And that's unfortunately what the Catholic Church has done from time to time, rejecting sola scriptura and relying more on the next papal encyclical as the source of truth on planet Earth. By the way, the Pope on environment produced this new encyclical. I think it's some 300-400 pages. An encyclical is a communication to every bishop around the world, every Catholic bishop around the world. And that affects some billion people around the world. This is an incredibly powerful document that will impact many, many people, especially Catholics. And friends, what he says in his encyclical on environment is that world government hasn't done enough. Quote, there is an urgent need of a new, true world political authority. That's kind of chilling.
Yeah.
There's an urgent need of a true world political authority. An urgent need. We need it now. Apparently, the United Nations isn't doing a good enough job. We need a better Babel. We need a better one world government.
Yeah.
We need a better Antichrist. We need somebody who can pull this off. We need to centralize power in government. Of course, the problem with man is government can't solve the problem because power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. Evidence the Vatican.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Government is the problem.
Yeah. The problem is deeper than the environment. The problem is deeper than these superficial issues treated in encyclicals like this. What do you say? The problem is there is none that doeth good. No, not one. There's none that seeks after God. They've all gone out of the way. That's the problem. The problem is that man's heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And that's the doctrinal issue that Catholics have a hard time grappling with. It's called total depravity. And because of that, they make very, very bad policy decisions.
And they make very bad leaders.
Well, they do.
Yeah.
They do. And so what was the consequence of these Catholics who are given these very, very liberal perspectives? Well, Bernie Sanders is said to be the presidential candidate who agrees with the Pope more than anybody else. That's Time magazine just a few months ago. Independent Senator Bernie Sanders is Jewish. He's also the likely 2016 presidential candidate whose political philosophy lines up most closely with the economic and social theories of Pope Francis.
Bernie Sanders is a self-avowed socialist.
He's the most socialist of the entire Senate. He is pro-abortion. He's pro-homosexual. He's as left as you can get, and he likes Pope Francis. He name drops Pope Francis probably more than anybody else does. That's Bernie Sanders, friends, running for president of the United States. Also, within the U.S. Senate, remember, of the Democrats within the U.S. Senate, there are 15 Catholic Democrats and 11 Catholic Republicans. So there are more Catholic Democrats in the U.S. Senate than Catholic Republicans. The Democrats are doing, or the Catholic Democrats doing more evil for this country, maintaining socialism, big government control of every aspect of our lives.
Pro-abortion.
Abortion, homosexuality, almost without exception. It's the Catholics that are leading the pack in the U.S. Senate, my friends. So again, ask yourself the question, is Pope Francis helping anything? Is Pope Francis doing any good? It's a good question to ask. Well, we're going to look at some of this in just a moment. Stay tuned. This is the Generations Radio Broadcast, Kevin Swanson Report.
Persecution against Christians is on the rise in Pakistan, Iran, India, Africa, Canada, Washington, and Iowa. Our religious liberties are hanging in the balance.
There was a report that recently found that Christians are the most persecuted religious minority in the world.
News reports every day indicate the tide is turning right now.
Well, last night, Reverend Franklin Graham was here talking about what he called the growing hostility toward Christians in America, including the Christmas holiday.
We lost religious freedom battles in Indiana and Arkansas this year. Christian businesses have been fined $135,000 for not supporting a homosexual wedding. Christian parents are concerned about parental rights and education and medical choices.
I believe we're going to see persecution in this country. We've already seen many laws that have been passed that restrict our freedom as Christians. And so I believe it's going to get worse. And we see, no question, gaining influence in Washington.
That's why the Freedom 2015 Conference in Des Moines, Iowa, Friday, November 6th and Saturday, November 7th, 6 weeks before the Iowa caucuses, we want to register our commitment to liberty. It's time to get educated, get inspired, get connected, get motivated. Get some influence and get ready to impact the 2016 elections. Meet the presidential candidates. Take part in a presidential poll. Support fellow Christians who are taking the brunt of it. This conference is for Christian pastors, parents, teachers, businessmen, employees, and chaplains. Bring your family to the Iowa Event Center on November 6th and 7th for an historic event as we take a stand for liberty. This is a crucial moment in the history of the Western world. Will you play a part in it? Register now at freedom2015.org. That's freedom2015.org.
We are back on the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson here with you as we talk about what's happening with the Pope and encyclical on the environment. The Pope has registered himself to be liberal on socialism, liberal on homosexuality, liberal on the environment. The latest quote here is, "There is urgent need of a true world political authority," as if somehow the United Nations can't quite pull it off. Apparently, he's thinking that the only way to save the world is to install some world political authority with all of the clout necessary to tyrannize an entire globe.
And I wonder be sure if he wants it.
and be sure that there are no incandescent light bulbs over here in Elizabeth, right, Colorado.
I wonder if the Pope wants to be that leader.
Could be. Maybe so. Maybe he wants to be the political leader. He certainly did in the Middle Ages, the medieval period.
Yeah.
And maybe he wants to be that leader today as well. Friends, the problem, of course, is not that man is throwing his garbage out on the side of the road. The problem is greed. The problem is sin. The problem is he's in rebellion against God. The problem is he needs to repent of his sins and fall at the feet of Jesus Christ and receive the cleansing of Christ at the cross. The problem is he needs the regenerating force of the Holy Spirit within him, and that, my friends, is not happening. And if that doesn't happen, It happens here and there, but if it doesn't happen enough, then you can't do anything with politics. You can't enforce some top-down regulative system to clean up the world. The biblical law does not allow for a top-down regulative system anyway. Doesn't allow for a centralized system anyway. And sadly, most of Christianity, Protestant and Catholic, have abandoned God's laws because they're autonomous and because they make it up as they go themselves and because they appreciate tyranny and they want to centralize power and tyrannize the entire world. Actually, economic growth is happening in some second world and third world countries around the globe. The Pope in his encyclical says rich countries are destroying poor countries and the earth is getting warmer. Now, there's a lot of controversy over whether the world is getting warmer.
Yeah.
Over the last 10 years, the world's been getting cooler.
Yeah, over the last 17 years, there's been absolutely no difference whatsoever.
Yeah.
And they were expecting with the rise in the carbon dioxide that the temperatures of the world would escalate over these last 17 years. Carbon dioxide has gone up. Temperatures remain stable. And so they somehow said that the earth is going through this sort of, it's waiting.
So the Pope is working off of old information from 17 years ago.
Yeah.
So sadly, he's not getting updated very much by his scientific staff, one of whom, by the way, believes in Gaia, not God. And we'll get to that in just a moment. But the point is, the Pope is concerned that rich countries are destroying poor countries and the earth is getting warmer. But if you look at Economist Magazine's projection for 2015 on economic growth around the world, guess which continent is going to see the most economic growth?
Africa?
Yes. And guess which continent is going to get the lowest economic growth?
Greece?
Europe.
Okay, Europe.
Europe, yes.
Yeah.
Europe is going to see 1.4%, and North Africa will be at 3.5%, and Sub-Saharan Africa projects a 4.5% economic growth per Economist Magazine. Somebody's lying to the Pope.
Yeah.
Or he's lying to himself. I don't know which. But I do know that the drive to centralize power is really what undergirds the centralizing of power within the church and the centralizing of power within world governments. So remember, that Babel principle works in the hearts of proud men everywhere and proud systems where men are all tied together as a system that centralizes power over, control over entire ecclesiastical systems and entire political systems. And it is the power, it's the centralizing of power that draws men and draws men and draws men. And it's ultimately a satanic influence.
Yeah, it is just, it's indescribable. It's unexplainable that you couldn't take a look at the evidence that is out there right now and not come to the proper conclusion. It's the reason is they don't want to have the proper conclusion because it's all about power.
Rush Limbaugh is concerned about this scientific pantheist who advises Pope Francis. The guy is Hans Schellnhuber, somebody like that, believes in Mother Earth, Gaia, the Gaia principle. And so Rush Limbaugh's made a big deal out of this. I think the fundamental problem is the beginning of knowledge is the fear of God, but not considered to be the fear of God in almost every private and public university in the world. And for that reason, because they're not worshiping God in the chemistry classroom in most universities. I'm talking about Catholic universities. They may have something over here on the side. It's kind of a dualistic service, but then they move on to humanism. They move on to materialism, and they refuse to worship God in the chemistry classrooms. Friends, that's the approach to education that Catholics and Protestants have taken since Aquinas. And I've dealt with that in my book, Apostate. That's why Aquinas is so important. He takes apart natural revelation from spiritual revelation, considers them not two revelations, but two forms of knowledge, distinct in kind, according to Aquinas. And in fact, the Bible does not present two knowledges, but a single knowledge of God and of his world, but two forms of revelation. And for this reason, we have a university that does not fear God, does not worship God. And in fact, in K-12 schools around America, it is illegal to worship, to praise, to give credit to the true and living God in the science classrooms. I'm talking K-12 schools all around America. And there aren't that many Christian teachers in K-12 schools on their knees, raising their hands and worshiping the true and living God in the biology classroom. Just not happening. And for that reason alone, because they will not teach the foundation of knowledge as the fear of God in the chemistry classroom, chemistry, biology, environmental science, etc., have been perverted and will continue to be perverted in the years to come. So instead of an encyclical on the environment, a very, very, very superficial concern, a very superficial concern, an indication that we have a man who's concerned with the very, very most external problems of them all. We need to go to the heart of it. We need an encyclical on teaching the fear of God as the beginning of wisdom and knowledge in classrooms. I'm talking about university classrooms. I'm talking about Catholic university classrooms, as well as public university classrooms and K-12 schools around America. That's the encyclical we need. If we get that encyclical and men start fearing God, then we're not going to have the environmental issues, or we're not going to have the pseudo-scientific problems in the science classrooms that we have experienced for the last 20 years, 30 years, 50 years, or 150 years since Charles Darwin abandoned the fear of God and then pulled together a very, very tenuous hypothesis on how a piece of inanimate matter turned into a human being by a mechanism he can't define and he can't find evidence for.
And we're not just talking to the public school either. We want to implore you as homeschoolers out there that you've got to put this into your curriculum as well. You've got to teach math and science and history and biology and all of those things in the fear of God. There's so much that you can go to. God set up math. God is a logical God. God is in charge of all history. He created science. He wants us to understand his world from his perspective, not understanding the world from our own, and or trying to put some secular... There is no separation between academics and discipleship. You're going to disciple your kids either towards God is in the classroom or God is not. And if you're taking God out of the classroom in your academics, even in your homeschool, you're failing your children.
Are Catholics ruining America? Is the Pope ruining this country? It's a good question. We need to ask the question. The majority of Catholics in the U.S. Senate are Democrat. Done. I would think the argument is set. And as far as I know, nobody's been excommunicated recently for advocating the abortion of millions of babies. It seems like the same problem with the Muslims, who are A-OK with all of their friends out there murdering Christians and slicing their heads off. And there's no discipline going on within the Muslim church. Well, the same thing with the Catholic church. Mm-hmm. The Catholic seems to be A-OK with their liberal legislators all around the dying Christian West doing what they can to destroy the foundations of this country and voting for homosexuality and abortion and every socialist program that they can find. And friends, the Supreme Court of the United States is mostly Catholic. I'm not sure, 6 or 7 of them are Catholic. It's the majority of them are Catholic. So it's still a problem. And why is that a problem? Because the New York Times just came out with a recent article in which they stated the Roberts Court has moved leftward. In fact, it's moving leftward faster than any other court since 1969. I'm talking the Warren Court. Warren Court made a radical shift in America towards more abortion, more liberal causes, removing prayer and the fear of God from the public schools. Well, the Roberts Court, and Roberts, I believe, is a Catholic. Yes, he is.
Yeah.
Yes, he is. He's a Catholic. And so this Catholic-dominated court is moving liberal. The Warren Court decision's 70% liberal. Roberts Court, at this point, 54% liberal. And we'll see what happens in the next week or two with these significant court rulings coming down for homosexual marriage. Will Catholics save the day? So far, so bad. Well, one more story before we're done with this edition of the program. This is one of the more interesting stories I've read in a while. This comes from the UK Guardian concerning an abortion drone dropping do-it-yourself drugs over Poland for the women there. Apparently, Poland is one of the last nations on planet Earth that does not have abortion. But what we find here is an incredibly powerful influence within the hearts of people like Margaret Sanger and others who have been much more committed to the cause of humanism and the destruction of human life than the fake Protestants and the fake Catholics that predominate around the Western world. And so just the fervor, the fervency of these baby killers are impressive to me. They found one country left, that is Poland, that doesn't provide for abortion. And so they're launching these abortifacients on these little drones.
So who's
and
sending
dropping
out the
them
drones?
Over Poland.
So who's sending the drones?
Some organization called Women on Waves. It's a not-for-profit organization providing medical abortion pills around the world. And they're using these drones to bring it about. Wouldn't it be wonderful if Christians in our country were as committed to opposing abortion as these people are to provide abortion pills to women in Poland? That would be a blessing. A blessing. The fervency of the humanists, if it was repeated amongst the lukewarm Christians, I think we would see the kingdom of God advance and do well. We stand outside of an abortion clinic in Aurora on a weekly basis, and I think my count is somewhere around 6 or 8 Christians are willing to take the stand in front of that clinic week in and week out and have been doing so for about 16 months. But only 6 out of 1 million people, that's not very many.
Yeah, that's sad.
Would be good to see more. I think stories like this give us just a little bit more encouragement to be faithful and consistent to the things that we believe. And that's what I take from this story from the UK Guardian. May Christians maintain something of a Christian witness in this country. It's kind of at a pretty low ebb. You don't see much of a Christian witness out there. It would be nice to see more of a Christian witness and perhaps a drone coming over Denver dropping pro-life tracts or something, or maybe just drone the pictures of fetuses, some facts about fetuses over into the yards of Planned Parenthoods across America. That would be a good thing as well.
Yeah. Wow. Well, ladies, what do you say about that?
Well, ladies and gentlemen, more reasons to get more committed. And I think if anything on this edition of the program, what we're saying is we need to get back to the Word of God. We need to be committed to the faith that God has given to us in His Word. We need to be committed to the truths that God has laid down in His Word. We need to see that Christ is in us, Christ moves through us, and we have the greatest motivations of them all. If Christ is our priest and He is our King, if Christ has died for us, then we ought to serve Him and bring the gospel everywhere. Certainly the gospel of life ought to be more of an upbeat message than the gospel of death. Think about it, Steve. If you're sending pills over the border, that's to kill. What if you sent life over the border? You would think that those who have the message of life would be more upbeat and more motivated to bring that message to others. I tell my kids all the time as they go out to minister at the abortion clinic in Aurora, you're doing two things. You're saving lives and you're saving lives. You're bringing life and you're bringing life. They just had a baby save a week ago or so. A lady with 3 children was thinking about aborting the 4th, but they had the conversation. She decided to go the other direction, saw the ultrasound, and decided to save that life. But they're also concerned about the soul of this woman. Why would she want to destroy the life of a young? Well, it's because the life inside of her is dead, and she needs that spiritual life that can only come by the waters of life that flow out of Christ Himself. So they're taking time, not just to save babies, but they're discipling the lady now. They're doing a shower for her, and they hope to be able to disciple both her and her husband as well into the kingdom of God. So, you know, why go out in front of the abortion clinic? Well, it certainly is 6 feet from the gates of hell itself. But there you have the opportunity to save the physical life of a child and the spiritual life of a family that would want to destroy the life of a child. Friends, that's the vision that we provide. Now, I think it's a more important vision, more significant vision, a more motivational vision than anything you would get from Women on Waves, this organization that provides medical abortion pills around the world. Man, we've got a vision. Man, we've got a mission. Wow, we've got a message. Why don't we spread this one? Jesus said, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." The thief takes those drones and they drop the death pills. They come to destroy and to kill. But Jesus comes to give life and to give it more abundantly. That ought to provide for so much more motivation. We have so much more reason to get the word of life out there. We have a better message. We have a better mission. We have a great vision. Let's take this to the abortion clinics. Let's take it to the streets. Let's take it to our neighbors, our relatives. We have all the motivation in the world, friends. We have all the mission in the world. Let's get it out there. It's a mission of life, an abundant life, in contrast with the dried up, self-centered, narcissistic, dead, baby-killing life of the left. Well, that's the essence of the kingdom of God, to bring life and to bring it more abundantly. As we wrap up this edition of the program, let me encourage you to my book, Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West. It tells the story of how the Christian faith has died in the institutions of the Western world. How is it that it disappeared from the church? How did it disappear from our institutions, our educational systems? How did the Christian faith disappear from the Christian church? Well, it was a worldview issue that dates back to Aquinas. Get the book at our website, kevinswanson.com or generationswithvision.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.